Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you are tuned in to Black Keys Movie Talk. It is Sunday, October 4, and we're going to be talking about The Martian today. I'm your host, Yolanda, and I'm here with my co-host, Elise. Elise, say hello to the people, please.
What up, everybody?
So, yeah, so today we're going to be reviewing The Martian, and I don't want to waste any time because there's a lot to talk about. So I'm going to turn it right over to you, Elise, to give us a summary of the film.
Right on. So The Martian is based on a very popular book of the same name, directed by Ridley Scott, obviously sci-fi legend. Blade Runner, Alien, written by Drew Goddard, who also wrote World War Z. He's done Buffy, he's done Lost, he's done the new Daredevil, Alias, so pretty experienced writer. So the story is about a manned mission to Mars. Matt Damon, along with Jessica Chastain, Kate Mara, and two other actors, don't know their names, are on Mars. Matt Damon's character gets left behind by accident. He's presumed dead. And he basically has to figure out a way to survive on Mars, which is obviously not inhabited, can't grow food. He has to make his supply stretch. So you have the drama of him on Mars figuring out how to survive alone, and then you have the drama back on Earth. Once they realize that he is alive, how are they going to get him and help him survive?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Yes. So one of the first things we always do with all movies is talk about our expectations going in and feelings and thoughts we've had prior to the film coming out. Especially in this case, I think it's important to talk about it. I'll start by saying this film for me, when we do our most anticipated films at the end of the year, this film for me was, I believe, if it was not number one most anticipated, it was definitely in my top five. I mean, I don't recall. I didn't go back and listen to our show. But this, to me, was the movie I was most looking forward to, simply because of kind of what you touched upon in your summary, Elise, with, I mean, the you get your legendary director. It's based on a known, they've already got a story in place, a very strong story in place with a book. They've got a stellar cast, right? I mean, even the smaller players, strong cast. They've got, like, the trifecta, right? There's no way that they could do wrong. I mean, they could. They always could. There's always a possibility that stuff could be messed up royally, but their chances were really, really good with it. And so for those reasons, this movie is in my top five. That being said, just recently, and I almost feel like I was thinking about this before the show today, I almost feel like it was like staged. I can't believe the timing of it, that comment that came out that Matt Damon made about diversity. And I don't know if we want to go into the absolute specifics here. I mean, I guess we can. It doesn't take too long. It's just amazing that came out beforehand, because he makes this statement, which, you know, some people, it wasn't like, I don't know how to verbalize it. It was just very frustrating, and it was like just the height of almost, like, ignorance. It almost, like, hurts you to hear him say it, because it wasn't like a blatant, like, racist. It wasn't like he called somebody out their name or, you know, used the N-word. It was just this confirmation of sort of maybe how far we still have to go, even with all of the strides forward that we've made. And like I said to somebody else, if it was anybody else who said it, if it was somebody else that you didn't already like, you it'd be fine. It'd be like, oh yeah, that you know, jackass. Of course he would say something like that. I didn't like him anyway. Go on, bye. You know, like bye, Felicia. You know, but it wasn't.
Yeah,
it was Matt Damon. Okay, you know,
yeah.
Maybe other people don't feel strongly about him, like him as much. I don't know. But it definitely, for me, put like a tarnish on this film. Most definitely for me.
Absolutely.
How did you feel?
Yeah, it was just so disappointing to hear, because I'm not some crazy super Matt Damon fan, but I mean I like the guy. I like, you know, the horns and Good Will Hunting. I liked him. And it was just so disappointing to hear. Like, really? Come on, you know?
Right.
And especially given the fact that they just came out, I think it was USC or UCLA, like just came out with that report with the lack of diversity in Hollywood, both behind and in front of the camera. And for somebody who has like major clout in the industry to say something like that, you're just like,
right.
You're killing me.
You're killing me.
So
you're killing
very
me, man.
Disappointing.
Yeah. Very disappointing.
And
I
totally tainted.
What?
Oh, I was just going to say totally tainted my expectations, because this was, I was really looking forward to this too.
Yeah. I mean, should we say that people, what exactly it was he said? I mean, should we say here?
No, just Google it. Google it, man. If
Google
you haven't
it.
Heard about it, just Google Damonsplaining.
Yes. Google it.
Look it up.
Google it. Look it up. So that being said, and especially, you know, because we were discussing before the show whether or not we should even bring up, and this will sort of hopefully segue us into now the actual review. The reason I think we both felt like it had to be mentioned is because, especially with this movie, it is so important. The whole movie hinges upon you caring that Mark Watney, that's the character played by Matt Damon, he's the guy who's stranded on Mars. And the whole film, you have to like him. You have to be rooting for him. You have to want him to get off of that planet alive. The whole movie. If you don't like that character, if whoever is playing that character isn't able to bring, like, a certain likability, even before he opens his mouth, as far as I'm concerned, then you've got a problem. You've got a problem. And, you know, one of the reasons why this movie was in my top five, if not number one, is because, like you said, Elise, Matt Damon, I'm not, like, in love with Matt Damon. He's not, like, my all-time favorite. But I definitely, he's one of my, actors. I like the choices that he's made in his films. You know, I always feel for the most part I'm going to have a good time, you know, watching him. And so for those reasons, this was my top five. You got your Matt Damon, you got your Ridley Scott, you got your whole cast of characters, you know. And so it was important to talk about. So let's get into the actual the film. I've already mentioned like 52 times the whole cast of characters. Why don't we just talk about the cast and the acting first? How did you feel? I mean, it was an impressive list of people. Did you feel like everybody lived up to sort of like their reputations, or like made reputations for themselves in this film? They didn't already have one.
Totally, yes. Excellent cast,
mm-hmm.
I thought.
Yeah.
The whole cast
uh-huh.
did a tremendous job.
Right, totally.
Yeah,
I agree with you. Was there anybody that stood out for you, and, like, why?
Jeff Daniels. I was I don't really...
Yes!
Maybe because I haven't seen his... I know he has a show now on HBO or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But totally, I mean, he sold it as the
like the yes. head kind of like unfeeling bureaucrat / politician, the head of NASA. He really loved it. Excellent.
Yes. I'm so glad you said that. That's so funny. Okay, so we're in agreement. Because he was not, for me, going into this film, he wasn't one of the people that I was like, oh, like I got up on the edge of my seat when they were doing the trailer
right.
for. But for me,
yeah, no.
his performance was, I thought, so spot on. And like you said, like exactly sort of like the, you know, he couldn't be overly emotional, you know, like he just mm-hmm. nailed it. Where it was like,
yeah.
you didn't get the sense that he was like a bastard. Like, I didn't dislike him. I
no.
didn't feel like he was a cold-hearted bastard. Like, he was who you would think would be in that role. Like, I can't be, like, super, super feely-feely emotional. I have to make these hard decisions. It's go time. You know, he was my favorite. I think he was
yeah.
my favorite. That's so
me
funny
too.
That he stood out for you, too. And then everybody else, I didn't feel like there was any weak performances. I mean, everybody just showed up, and I felt like it was just who they needed to be in those parts. I'll tell you another a person who was a lesser character who stood out for me, and only because, like, we just saw him in a vastly different way. With that the Glover kid. We just saw him in Magic Mike. I thought that was
yes.
fabulous. I was like, oh my God, look at him. He's all grown up. He's working for NASA. I just got a thrill from seeing
yeah.
him. I thought that he was like spot on, like super you know, cranked up on the caffeine. He's got to figure out a way, you know, to get the astronaut home. I thought he was great. He was on the screen for like maybe 15 minutes in total, and I thought he did
mm-hmm.
it. He was like, thank you very much. I'd like to see
right.
you again in the role of super nerd, right?
Yeah.
I just thought he was great. Who else? Is there anybody else that kind of stood out for you?
I really love Jessica Chastain.
Uh-huh.
And she did a great job. She didn't have a huge role. I liked that she was the commander, you know?
Yeah.
That she was the, you know, the head bitch.
Right.
Basically.
And
she pulled it off.
And
it was
she totally pulled it off. I didn't feel like it was too much. You know, she just, it was just right. It was like, yeah, I'm the commander, you know, and it was like natural. It wasn't like a big like statement had to be made, you know, she was appropriately, you know, appropriately without being overly over the top, properly, you know, carried the weight of making the decision to leave, dude. And then when they found out that he was alive, like, it was an appropriate reaction. It wasn't too much. It wasn't,
you know,
her performance didn't take you out of the film.
Yeah.
That being said, there was a moment, and I guess we're getting around to Matt Damon's performance since we spent all that time talking about him. There was a moment in the very beginning of the film that I felt, because I went in, I tried to, like, clear my mind of the Damon slating, and I said, you know what? Let's just see what if he's, you know, this will actually be a testament to his acting ability, really. If I can come in, you know, and he can make me forget about his nonsense a couple of weeks ago and just fully get into this character and immerse in the film. And it was, not to take away, because it was the very beginning of the film. We didn't really get to see his character at all yet. But when the storm came, and, okay, it's time, we have to make a decision. Are we going to just stay? Are we going to wrap it up and get the hell up out of here? And you could see Jessica Chastain, she's a commander, and she's, you know, she's asked for all the information from all of the parties. And Matt Damon's character is like, let's just stay. And the way that he said it reminded me of the Damon slating. And I immediately was like, you know what? You shut up and sit down, because you're not the commander here. I make the decisions. So you shut up. But that was your... That was the very beginning of the film, the way, his delivery of it. And it just rubbed me the wrong way. I was like, you know what? You need to shut up because you don't know what you're talking about. You're not the commander of the ship. She is the commander. And you might not have any respect for her position, but you have to shut up and sit down. That was the, I can't. I'm just going to be honest. I didn't like his delivery of that line. And it reminded me of the whole thing.
Yeah, he did say it was real. It was real, like, I'm in charge. It was like, but you're not.
Right. I could see that.
Did you feel the same thing?
It was like an order.
Overly?
Yeah.
No. It was like, he said it like an order instead of like,
yes,
this is my opinion and I'll offer it to you for your consideration, ma'am.
No. No.
It wasn't said like that.
It was an order. It was like, we should see, we need to stay. Or like, you know, you don't know. You don't know. Because you have a vagina, so you have no say here. And, and you know, so, okay, so that moment happened. let's, are we ready to move into, what about the rest of his performance?
Yeah.
I mean, did you feel like you were able to empathize and root for him?
I think he did a good job. You know, I wasn't able to shake my feeling, but I can't say truthfully and honestly that the performance was bad. I can't say that.
I think
that, and especially the end, like the third act, when you see like how he's wasted away and you really see the effects of him having been stranded for a year and a half, I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah. Right.
You know, that was very sobering. But like the first half of the movie where you're supposed to be developing this like, this affection for him, and he's like, he's video chatting, but it almost feels like he's talking directly to you, you know.
Yeah,
I was kind of like, you know, when he's making little jokes and stuff, everyone was laughing, and I'm like, whatever. Like, I just couldn't shake it, and I'm really angry at him for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I too felt like some of his jokes, because he's supposed to be jokey and things are supposed to be funny, didn't really fall well with me either. I felt like he was acting, you know, and I didn't really believe that he was this person stranded. I felt like, to me, it was a coming across like, I know you like me. Right? You're supposed to like me, and I know you like me because I'm the, you know, I'm the man or whatever. Like, it wasn't coming off for me as, like, he was too aware of himself. With the and the joking, to me, when you read it in the book, that character's not aware of himself. He's just this guy who... he's funny because he is funny, and it comes off funnier because of the situation because the situation is so desperate that it helps you to like him even more, and heighten the whole desperate life or death situation he's in. It's not an awareness that he has, that humor, and I felt like, especially like you said in the beginning, that the jokes to me weren't coming off as like genuine. They were coming off as, I know you like me, or kind of like this attitude. Maybe that had something to do with the Damon's planning. I don't know. Or maybe you know, we're just seeing clearly. Maybe we're just seeing clearly. But for some reason they didn't all land the way they were supposed to land. That in no way means that his acting was horrendous. You know?
No.
I mean, No, it wasn't horrendous. It was just, I don't know. They just weren't, those jokes were not delivered to my satisfaction. Yeah.
No, I can totally see that. That is a very good explanation of how I was feeling too. It didn't come across as genuine. It was very self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. What else? Oh, there was another moment. We had Sean Bean in this playing the
Boromir.
The Man of Gondor, and he is the flight director, right? And there was a moment when they're in the, like, meeting room or whatever, and dude, Glover's character, the young nerd kid, Donald Glover, he's playing Rich Brunell. He's the one who comes up with the maneuver to get them all back home. And he wants to call the whole mission, what was it, like the Council of Endor, or the meaning of Endor?
Elrond.
Yeah. Endor. I'm mixing up my movies. And there was a moment that only, I don't think there were a whole lot of super geeks in my audience, because there were only a few of us. I actually clapped. I laughed out loud and cried. That's how delighted I was by that. Because here he is. He was at the Council of Elrond. Boromir. I feel like they did it on purpose, right? How could they not? Because they were like, they even like pointedly said, who would know about that? And I literally out loud, I yelled and I cheered. And I said, because he was at the Council of Elrond. And I thought that was delightful. I don't think that was done by accident at all. Nod to Lord of the Rings. So there was that moment. I know that you didn't really read the book, right? Did you read the book?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, I purposely did not.
Okay.
I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say, well, I read it a while ago. I guess we can't really talk about comparing it to the book, but I feel like they did a really good job, keeping the heart of the book. And actually, I wish we would have been able to get the special guest that wanted to come on, because Father,
mm-hmm.
he read the book, and he said that one of the things he didn't like about the book was all the details that they went into. Mark Watney, they went into great, great details about all of the calculations and the things he had to do to stay alive, like how many liters of water he needed and what he would need, da, 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 da. And Dad was like, that took him sort of out of the story. And I thought that was interesting, because I said to him before the movie came out, I said, I think if that was your only problem with the book, that the movie's going to be very, very successful, because as we all know, movies can't go. They can't go into that much detail. They have to take
right.
that stuff out to keep the pace going. So the book, I'll just say, was basically made to be a movie. I mean, it really was. I mean, I remember reading it and thinking, like, after the first chapter, I was like, okay, if somebody hasn't already optioned this, they're going to very soon. Because this is
right.
spectacular. This is a movie waiting to happen. I guess I'll just say that this is a great, I think, adaptation. Damon explaining, not taking that into consideration. What else? Is there anything else we need to talk about? We talked about the acting. Okay, you didn't read the book. What did you think of the story? Because you had no idea. Like, what for you? Did you feel like it was believable? Was it in what?
Yeah, it was a great story. I mean, the premise is simple, and it's kind of like, it's not too elaborate. It's just a good, it's almost like, you have elements of like Apollo 13,
you know, they have to save and then save somebody in space, and the people on Earth are kind of like trying to, you know, science it out.
And then a little bit of like Castaway, you have, you know, this solitary figure trying, you know, dealing with that, and his own mortality, kind of being confronted with that. So, I mean, it's a great story. Simple. The tone was, like, perfect. It wasn't too jokey.
Right.
But there was just enough humor to, like, move the story along and not turn it into, like, this melodrama or this, like, you know, meditation on on human frailty. It was, like, the tone was perfect.
Okay. Yeah. It really spot on. So we've got about 4 minutes left. So there was no weaknesses for you in this? You didn't feel like, aside from maybe not always empathizing or rooting for Matt Damon's character, was there any other things that kind of stood out for you? Well, maybe they could have done that differently.
Honestly, no. I mean, it looked beautiful. The special effects were gorgeous. The cast was good. The only thing is not, like you said, the whole story kind of hinges on you identifying with Matt Damon. I mean, the tagline of the movie is "Bring him home," and you know, if you don't care about him, then you know. So just like the first part of his performance, where I couldn't really connect with him, was the only weakness in my mind.
I mean, Ridley Scott, I mean, he's a genius. I mean, it was a beautiful movie.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, we talked about this before. If you got the story and already in place, we know that Ridley Scott is a talented director. I mean, if he would have messed it up, it would have just been, like, tragic, I feel like. Because you already had the story in place. That's the hardest piece. That's like the heart of the whole darn thing. If you don't have a story, and they already had that, you know? So if they would have messed it up, it would have just been more of a travesty than, like, trying to just come up with something. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. Okay, so we've got 2 minutes. Let's rate this. 0 to 5 stars. What are you giving it?
I'm going to give it a 3.5, and because of the Matt Damon issue. And then I also want to mention that Ridley Scott actually had some issues with diversity in Hollywood. His travesty, what was that, Gods and Kings, his all-white cast.
Oh,
about
right,
an
right, right.
Story. So, you know, the two of them, I'm,
the two of them.
I'm giving it a 3.5.
I was debating in the movie as I'm watching it. I was debating between 3.5 or 4. You know, and I'm gonna give it a 3.5. It would have gotten a 4, I think, if not for the Damon explaining. I'll just put it out there because that took away from my wanting to bring him back home. And also, you know, I was trying to think how many stars we gave Gravity. For some reason, I kept thinking about Gravity, too. And just because Gravity was so, there were no pauses. It was just constant in peril, which I was faster paced and I like better. So, I'm giving it a 3.5. So there you go. The note here is don't be stupid. Don't be ignorant. Because it'll hurt yourself. Really quick, we've got 30 seconds left. We will be back, not next week, but in 2 weeks, reviewing Crimson Peak. So that'll be Sunday, October 18th, same time, 1:30 Pacific. Until then, hope to see you guys back here again then. Bye-bye.
Bye.